I'm not selfish. You're selfish. You ever had an argument like that in your house?
Oh, yeah. Have your kids ever had arguments like that? Yeah.
Yes. Well, the reality is all of us have a little seed of selfishness buried deep in our heart right next to the sin nature. And that's going to be our topic today on Life Talks.
Wait, before we get into that, I just had this thought. I have these thoughts every once in a while.
Is this a thought we're going to share with everybody or we're going to edit this out?
No. We'll share it with everyone. Okay. Do you ever wonder, like, what was your favorite sandwich growing up when you went to school? Like, what was the sandwich your mom packed
I've got a weird
mine's
answer
weirder
to this.
Than yours, I guarantee you.
No so? Way. Yeah. Okay, so you're probably right then. Mine's a peanut butter and chocolate chip sandwich. You put peanut butter and then a bunch of chocolate chips.
That sounds amazing.
As far as I know, my grandmother invented
and
passed down.
On white bread?
White bread, peanut butter, chocolate chips. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Oh, man, okay.
We should sell that in a cafe.
I don't know why more people don't do this. So what's yours?
We called it. I can't believe I'm having that. We call it the little weenie sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so explain.
And it was Vienna sausages cut in half lengthways.
Okay.
On white bread.
That's it?
That was it. No mayonnaise, no mustard.
No sauce, no nothing.
Did you heat them up?
Nope. Just right out of the can with that gelatinous mess on them.
Ew.
And you know the weird thing is?
What?
I had one Sunday night.
Really?
I still
I've
like them.
I love
Vienna sausages.
I've never heard of that in my entire
I told you I could outweird you.
You did.
When you said weird,
there
I was like.
There are literally people driving off the road right now so they can vomit.
Dan, this
no, they're all just saying, I'm going to do Josh's sandwich and not Dan's.
I'm going to have 40 cans of Vienna sausages outside my office door next week.
I think that entire sandwich explains so much about Dan.
Yeah, and if you ever explore what sausages are made out of, holy cow.
Oh, you know what mine was? So mine evolved over the years. So mine initially was tuna fish with tiny celery cut up in it.
Oh,
and with the mayonnaise, and then on wheat bread, my mom would give us the tuna fish sandwich. And I'm just
Did you toast it?
No,
because really
on wheat bread, and then by the time I opened it up to lunch, it's soggy, and I was Mom, I mean,
no.
I hated it.
Dude, though, this is when I turned 12 or 13, my mom made me make my own lunches.
Okay.
And I would want to, and I would want to make a sandwich, all my sandwiches for 1 week. You know, because I didn't want to do it every morning.
So efficient.
No. So I couldn't do the little weenies.
Yeah.
So yeah. I did tuna fish and I did like you did. I did chopped pickles, not chopped celery.
Oh, that's
chopped
not a bad
pickles,
addition.
Mayonnaise, tuna.
Yeah.
Put it in, and then I put them all in Glad sandwich bags. And in the freezer, I just had to pull one out every morning.
Oh, nice idea.
No, that's not a good idea. Because by the time they thawed out,
they're just a
the
soppy
bread,
mess.
The bread, honestly, was like you'd left a cracker in the rain.
And anyways.
But I ate them.
How do you do that more than once?
Who knows?
But apparently Dan will eat anything.
At some point, my mom's, you know, saved us because tuna fish breath as a kid, it's just awful, you know?
Yeah. Or as an adult.
So then I went to peanut butter and jelly, which, you know, strawberry jelly. Had to be strawberry jelly.
I'm a great guy.
And then later on in high school, I discovered the peanut butter marshmallow fluff, the fluffer nut sandwich. On
See,
white
I've
bread?
Never had
I've
this.
Never had this.
Oh, my
I can't even say
Is that good?
Fluffer nut.
Fluffer nut.
It's called a fluffer nut. Buy the marshmallow cream and buy peanut butter and make a little sandwich. Oh.
Okay.
So
I'm trying that today.
Good.
I think
so good.
That.
I'm sorry.
And all of this has everything to do with our topic of selfishness.
I'm feeling pretty selfish right now.
Oh, boy, I'm feeling slightly nauseated.
I had this thought the other day about soggy tuna fish sandwiches, and I'm like, why did my mom make those things for us? Anyways.
Okay, those are
standards were different.
Aren't those called something thoughts, intrusive thoughts?
I don't know.
Generally, they're not good to have in the middle of a podcast.
I just wanted to know if I was the only kid.
I think we all know Dan better than we did before. And what else?
What would you call them? Little weenie sandwiches and soggy tuna fish sandwiches? I mean, that's Dan's childhood right there.
I am not going to starve to death.
And hee-haw. No,
he won't. Yeah, he won't starve to death. That's true.
Okay. Okay, so yes.
So I'm actually in charge of this episode.
Sorry.
My name is Dan.
Sorry.
I'm talking to Ben.
I will.
We're the teaching pastors of Life Fellowship, which apparently everyone will now avoid because of our lunacy. But no, seriously, we're doing a series, a new series, our first episode, was last week or last episode. I don't know.
Just a couple of days ago or last week,
whenever they posted it. But it's on socially acceptable sins.
Yeah.
We talked about gossip. Today we talk about selfishness. Mm-hmm. Now, Ben, again, this is one. These topics can make us feel a little uncomfortable because in our hearts, most of us know we commit these sins almost without even recognizing them at times.
Yeah, selfishness, honestly, you don't have to teach anyone how to be selfish. I mean, selfishness just oozes out of the human condition. I was thinking about, like, think about when your kids were younger and there was a, you know, split the candy bar in two. And the rule we had in our house was the one person that cuts it, the other person chooses it.
Yes.
Right? So that way you're getting...
I've done that with my kids, right? Too.
But the whole reason you do that is why? Because someone's going to try to make sure they get the most.
Well, I don't know about you, but my sister would split it, then lick the one she wanted.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
A cheater. I hope she listens to this. Mean.
Yeah, I mean...
We're in our 60s and I still resent it.
But we know. But even as an adult, what do you do when you're at the church potluck and there's a pie there from Carolina Pies and it's chopped up and there's, out of the 8 slices, there's one that's just a little bit bigger. What do? You typically are like, well, that's the one I want.
I totally do.
Right? This. I mean, this is, Dan is under so much conviction
now. No, I don't, because I'm not a sweet eater. So
okay. Please stop talking right now.
No, I'm waking.
But I think that what we realize is that selfishness is just, it is so second nature to our fallen nature as sinners. And that's why, to me, it permeates everything. It permeates marriages. It permeates relationships. It permeates careers. I mean, how many times are you working in a job and someone's saying, well, I want to get above you. And why? Because they want the role or they want the credit or it's all about them. It's all about the person. And so every decision they make, it is about them. I mean, the mental health condition that we talk about, that selfishness out of bounds is narcissistic personality disorder, which is really someone that has gone completely unchecked in their selfish desires and wants, and they just do whatever is best for them and they can't even think about other people, right? So, but it is way, narcissism and narcissistic tendencies is not just a mental health condition. It is a sin. It's a sin before God. And so, it's a problem, Dan.
Yeah.
I was about to get ready to preach. I mean, I was on a roll there, and you're just standing there watching me. So yeah, I selfishness is bad, and I mean, preparing for this, you realize I'm a very guilty person in this because I can, as I was studying, I'm like, I do that. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and there's always this kind of a spirit of entitlement we use. Again, the way these become socially acceptable is we learn to rationalize them. Everybody's doing it. No one's getting hurt.
Yep. I got to do what's right for me.
Yeah. Exactly. And it feeds the sin nature. It feeds the selfishness. It feeds a sense of entitlement. Mm. And I think, you know, again, we've politicized the notion of entitlement, but that is a major feeder of selfishness.
Yes.
I deserve this. I deserve to not have to be inconvenienced, not to be, in second place to whatever. I deserve the rewards.
That's right.
That are due me.
Yeah.
So where does the scripture come down on?
Yeah.
On
so
how we should motivate ourselves to avoid this.
There's a word in the New Testament, in the Greek word is aretheia. And it's used in many different passages of scripture. Not many, but it's enough to show up in some key passages. But, you know, these are the things I wrote down that when you are practicing aretheia, which is, they call it selfish ambition, it leads to fighting and hostility, quarreling. That if you are, if you have this aretheia, the spirit of selfishness, it's going to cause friction in relationships. It's going to cause fights. I mean, we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. We see it in James chapter 4 when he's talking about, where do these fights and quarrels come from? They come from your own desires. You want what you want, and you don't care what anybody else thinks. It leads to disobedience of God's law. It says this in Romans 2, verse 8, that anyone who has this selfish ambition is going to break God's law, because what you're going to say is, God, I don't care what you want. I want what I want. And therefore, if I want what I want, it trumps what you want, God. And therefore, the any law that God has that says this is what's good and true and for your flourishing, we can justify, like you said, we can explain away, we can just flat out rebel and say, I don't want to do that because I want to do what I want to do. I mean, one of the things that people do all the time is, whether it's rationalizing or they'll just simply say, because I felt like it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It comes down to this spirit of aretheia. Another one that it's in the list of the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. And it's in, you contrast that with the fruit of the spirit. So these kinds of things are all done in order to, produce all kinds of evil. In fact, James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 talk about that that aretheia leads to disorder in every vile practice. I mean, so what selfishness can lead to, if you have a spirit of selfishness inside of you, what the Bible's teaching is your relationships are going to be a mess, and there's no bounds to what evil you will do if you do not check your own desire of self, to fulfill self, to elevate self. And so, yeah, the Bible's very clear. This is a sin, and it's a sin that can lead to so many other sins. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the biggest takeaway of selfishness, is it's not just I was a little selfish today. There's this heart inside of us that is intertwined with the human condition that unchecked leads to all kinds of other evils. So. Yeah.
Well, in our culture today, it also just seems like there's a cultural message today that you should not know inconvenience, that you should not know want. Mm. The scripture, talks about specifically that there's honor in preferring others.
Yeah.
Then, to me, that also then becomes a self-discipline.
Yeah.
The opportunity to look around us and see, how can I put someone ahead of me? Mm. How can I had something at me at the gas station a while ago, which I can't remember. But as a young guy coming up, and I used to almost always, it's just a reflex with me. Maybe it's growing up Midwest in the South, but I hold the door for people, mm-hmm. But as I was walking up, this guy popped ahead of me, grabbed the door, and invited me to go first. Normally, I would say, no, you go ahead, and so forth. But I went in, and it was such a weird feeling. Mm. But I think that's an important thing for all of us to get in the habit of doing, to at some point say, no, I'm going to prefer someone else.
You go first.
Yeah, you go first. Mm. Yeah. It's something that I think is lost even in our families. Mm. And I think it's for men, it's an opportunity to teach young men to respect
yes.
ladies.
Yes.
The rule used to be men walk on the sidewalk, women walk inside in case a car jumps the curb. When you go upstairs, you go behind the woman. When you go downstairs, you go in front of the woman in case she falls. There were all these etiquette mm-hmm. rules. Several years ago, I posted an article that said maybe it's time we revive them. And I got absolutely lashed on social media for my sexist ways. Wow. But can we honestly say that men overall are treating women better today than they I mean, honestly,
it's worse.
Yeah. And when we teach our boys, you never hit your sister because we never hit a girl because we never hit a woman.
Right. Right.
We're setting a pattern
yeah.
that says sometimes you got to suck it up, cupcake.
Yep.
Sometimes you've got to be on the receiving end, but your response, you do not get to give back. What they got for you.
Yeah.
I
think social norms, those etiquette things that used to be a part of just everyday life or used to be part of culture, they're waning away and people aren't thinking about it. I thought of one of the biggest ways I see this played out in relationships is, have you ever gone out to lunch with someone or you meet with someone and they never ask you one question like, how are you doing?
Exactly, yes.
You're like, we just spent an hour and, I try to talk to people, but there's never once like, so how are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's always, I have no problem telling you about my life, what's going on with me. And again, I'm not talking about there are certain ministry meetings that we are the...
And there are times when people are in absolute crisis.
We're the counselor and we're trying to help them out. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about two people getting together, having lunch together. And it's just like, to never ask anything about the other person, that is a huge sign of, all I care about is telling people about what I think and what I feel in my life. And that's selfish. Yeah. That's a sign of selfishness. That's a sign that you're not thinking about other people. And so there's all these little things that show it. But, you know, one of the things, other Dan, that I thought was really interesting is the only other time, not the only other time, but one of the times it's mentioned in a, not in a positive way, but Paul talks about this in Philippians 1:17 that says, people that preach the gospel out of selfish motives, using this word, aretheia. And you're like, oh, it's one thing to say, hey, this selfishness can lead to all kinds of evil and sin and quarreling and dissension and these things. But I wonder how many times we do good things from selfish motivations.
Yeah.
That is the one that I would say we can point out the bad things we do, but it's really, I think, the hardest thing for the Christian to do is to look inside and say, what good things am I doing selfishly? You know, we've all heard, I wish Pastor Jason was in here. We've all heard stories of people that said, you know, they get upset because they don't get enough singing parts, or or I wasn't recognized for doing something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, okay, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so is this about you or is it about God? And so many times, I know I've been guilty of this, is I unpack the layers of the why behind the action, behind the what, and I find myself there sitting at the bottom saying, yeah, that was for me. Yeah. And so I think that's another issue that we've got to be aware of when it comes to this sin, is the good things, the righteous things we can do out of a sense of selfishness. So,
yeah, and you know, sometimes selfishness robs us when we think we need glory from them, but it robs us of the opportunity to be a blessing. Mm. It robs us of the ability to appreciate what we do have. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes I think we do it just thoughtlessly.
Yep.
I was with someone recently, and I drive a 8-year-old car. Mm-hmm. But it's an old man's car, so it's a Genesis. I don't mind people knowing what I drive. I bought it used, and I paid cash for it because I saved up for literally 10 years so I could pay cash for it.
Yeah.
And it cost me $17,000, the most expensive car I've ever owned in my life. But at 60 years old, you know, and I paid cash, I didn't have to. And somebody walked up to me and said, is that your car? And I said, yes. And they said, wow, it must be good to be a preacher. And I thought, really, dude? Really? Now—
First of all, $17,000 for a car today is
it's not that much.
Nothing.
I mean, if I bought the thing new and had all the perks on it, it'd be a $50,000 car. I was pretty happy because I got it before COVID. But the other thing is, you know what he could have said? And, you know, this kind of stuff happens to pastors all the time. So it rolls off of me. Obviously, it didn't completely roll off. I wouldn't be using it as an illustration. But he could have also said, oh, man, Dan, that is great that, you know, at your stage in life that you were able to save up and get a bigger car and a comfortable car. I know you put a lot of miles on your car every year. Man, I'm just so happy for you. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
That would made me feel good. It made him feel good.
Yeah.
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 But instead, he, by the way, the guy's also a pastor. This is what kills me. Yeah. And he didn't mean anything about it. I love this guy. He's wonderful. But it just slips out, and you have to ask yourself, why do I say things like that? And often it's because I feel entitled, or I'm jealous, or I'm envious, or I'm selfish.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody else to have a pleasure that I don't get.
Absolutely. So to me, the solution for this is very simple, and it's Philippians chapter 2. Mm. Philippians 2, if you want the key to overcoming selfishness, look to Jesus. You know, Paul talks about this, have the mind of Christ. Don't look to the interest of to your own interest, but look to the interest of others. There's this idea of humbling yourself, serving others, that in order for me to change my selfishness, I literally have to go back and say, how did Christ think and live while he was here on earth? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. There was always this intentionality that people could disrupt what Jesus was doing because he put others first. He put the interests of others first. He was all about how to, you know, even the, I'm trying to think of just the times that people disrupted Jesus, and he was like, it's okay. Let them disrupt us. I'm here to serve. That to me takes a heart change and an awareness of where our selfishness starts bubbling up, and we got to keep it in check and say, nope, God has given me an opportunity to serve, and I'm going to serve. Whether someone recognizes it, whether someone acknowledges it, if no one ever says anything to me about what I've done right here, it's okay because it was for God. And so that read over Philippians 2, let that be a part of your thinking that I'm gonna have the mind of Christ. Romans 12 talks about don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. There's this idea of I'm not going to elevate my wants and desires and needs above the needs of others. That's what it means to be Christ-like. And that to me is going to get to the heart of the selfish problem. Yeah. So
what do you suggest in terms of just the way we navigate life? What are there antidotes?
Well, I think be proactive about it. One of my suggestions would be, and I'm telling you what, you ask this question of the people around you that know you, that love you, they'll tell you, hey, in what ways do you see selfishness in me? Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee you, remember what we talked about in the beginning, selfishness is leading to fights and quarrels. If you want to stop the fighting, stop always wanting your way on things. And so if you have to lay down what you want, lay down your rights and say, you know what, I'm going to let other people choose. I mean, one of the biggest fights we would always have every Friday night, because Friday night was movie night in our home when our kids were growing up, it was who got to choose the movie. Mm-hmm. And man, it was just like, I hate that movie. And you know, we had three kids, so we had three choices. And it's just like, whoever, no matter what someone chose out of the three, the other two would be grumpy. I don't really want to watch this movie. And it's just like, you're going to sit here and you're going to love it because we're going to be family together. You know what I mean? It's just like, but there's this idea of I have to want what I want all the time. If you ask someone, hey, in what ways am I being selfish? Instead of being in the heat of the moment, be proactive. And someone says, well, when you do this? And then don't be defensive. Well, I only do that because you.
Okay. Exactly.
Just take it. Just receive it. But if you ask for it, and the other thing I would say is really evaluate all the ministries, the good things that you're doing in your life, and what you need to, this is self-evaluation. Say, God, which one of these am I doing? Not just in my own power, but for my own selfishness. What am I doing so that people will recognize me? And you've got to repent of that. You've got to confess that before the Lord and say, God, you got to change my heart. So I think you have to invite the Holy Spirit in. You have to invite people that you love and trust in, and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you don't have to confront all the selfishness, but the ones that are most permeant in your life to say, I'm going to do something about that. And I think if you just start there, you will have a lot to work on for a while.
Absolutely. Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Yep. And we need to be constantly examining ourselves in light of Scripture and seeking to be Christ-like, to put on the character and nature of Christ. Well, this has been a great episode. We've gone from what kind of weird sandwich we eat to introspection about our motivation.
Right.
So as always, thank you so much for listening to us here at Life Talks. If you ever have any suggestions for topics you'd like to see us discuss.
Or if you have suggestions for Dan's sandwich selection. Please send it to Life Talks.
Mine seems very broad. I think either one needs a selection.
What are you talking about? I'm the one who had a sandwich. Of course, never mind. I was going to say, I have a sandwich that none of you have either had, but you had a sandwich that none of us have either had. Yeah. So we don't want to try that.
Yeah. It's not going to work. I'm bringing lunch tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
So's Ben.
And as always, thanks for joining us here at Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.